She's April.
And she's Molly.
And we are
the Book Besties. There is no fucking way that this man has made his career of making parties on islands for influencers to attend, and he didn't check behind to see that they weren't getting some cheap ass dreidels.
La 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 la.
Give her a point.
I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Oh my god, it's the end of the month. Or it feels like the end of the month.
It's the middle of the month, but yeah.
The year is gone. Where did it go, my love?
I know. It's been weird. Like, when I'm telling people at the library, your books are due back on December whatever the fuck, I'm like, I don't say whatever the fuck at the library, by the way.
You should. I'm whatever like, the fuck. Here you go.
How is this year almost over? Like, we're coming up on my birthday, no idea. And we're coming up on Christmas. Oh, and speaking of it being the end of the year.
Oh, boy.
So I am currently working on my reading goals for 2025 because I decided I'm going to up my game.
Oh, Jesus. What are you doing now?
Well, so for the past few years, my reading goal has been 50 books. Last year I read 100 books.
Okay.
This year I'm at 88 and I'm currently reading 2 books and I've got, don't you flick me off, bitch.
You're a librarian.
I read for the pod more than I read for work.
I know. Well, it's what you read for work. You're a children's librarian. So what you're reading for work is usually
middle
not.
Grade does not mean, I don't count picture books. I only count middle grade and YA.
Okay.
So we're talking about chapter books. Like, we're talking about fifth grade novels.
I hit 57.
Wild Oak was not that short.
No, Wild Oak was good. 57 out of 50 is what I got.
Well, that's good.
I'm not done.
I think I'll hit at least 90 because I'm reading 2 books now and I still have to read 2 more for the Warm Winter Bitches that Nurse Katie and I are doing. But anyway, all that is to say, I've been kind of a chicken about upping my reading goal past 50 because I'm like, well, what if I don't hit it? I'm going to challenge myself. I am going to raise my reading goal to 75 next year.
That's my goal, too. I'm going up 75 good. Next year.
I'm going to 75, but I have a second goal. Okay?
Okay.
So I recently made a spreadsheet, which, by the way, I love a good spreadsheet.
I know you do. Out of the two of us, there's a spreadsheet girl and there's a party planning committee girl. I'm the party planning committee girl.
I mean, you can have a party using a spreadsheet. It's definitely the way I've done it. I do it. Okay. Well, anyway, I went through my physical TBR, my books behind me, right? I have 52 books that I have not read that are sitting on my shelf.
I'm scared to do that back here because now, I bet you dollars to donuts, I have less read on my trophy case than you. Yeah.
There's a few over here on the side of me that are kids' books, that are middle grade books. So those one I'm less concerned about, although I did put them on the list. But the entire bottom of this is just a stack of books that have not been read.
So where this one is right here, that is my current I know I haven't read list.
Mm-hmm.
So those are like the ones I've either recently bought or come in my mailbox, like my boxes, like my box collection. But if I went through all of these, it'd probably be half this shelf.
Well, I do not think, I mean, collecting books and reading books are two different hobbies. I do not think I can read 52 books next year from my shelf. Because first of all,
we have pod.
I have to read the pod books. I've purchased books for a pod in the past, but this is one of my goals next year. I am not allowing myself to buy new books besides buying my pre-order autobuy authors.
Oh, damn.
So now, if someone gifts me a gift card or if Tom decides he wants to take me on a shopping spree, that's different. Right. But I'm not personally going to seek out buying books.
I'm trying not to.
And my goal is to read 12 books, at least 12 books from my physical TBR. So at least one book a month towards my 75.
That's not bad.
Will be from my physical TBR. My autobuy authors.
We also have con next season. So that will up your reading next season.
So I do have to buy the books for con because I do like having the author sign them.
I physically like having them too.
Yeah.
But I don't think con counts. We're working.
Unpaid. But we are unpaid. Working. They do feed us.
They do feed us. They treat us so, very well.
So my auto-buy authors are going to be Olivia Dade, of course.
Duh.
Allie Hazelwood, of course. Emily Duh. Henry, of course. Mm-hmm. And TJ Klune. Those okay. four authors. Well, also, sorry, I pre-ordered Onyx Storm.
Yeah. Which is, yeah. You know, I mean, duh.
Duh. Duh. So those ones are it. That's what sorry, one more. I pre-ordered the next Hunger Games prequel.
But
I own collector's editions of all the Hunger Games.
You pre-ordered the last Hunger Games one and it made you cry almost. Because it was so disappointing.
Yes, but this is Haymitch's story. The last one was an illustrated edition that maybe had 20 illustrations in it. And they weren't even in color.
There were like 10. I saw it at Barnes & Noble's. There was like 10 in there.
Babe. It was so disappointing.
So disappointing. I told Matt, I was there when we went with Matt. And it was like on the shelf because they have all the pretty ones out, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm flipping through it and Matt goes, oh, that's neat. And I go, yeah, April bought it. And he goes, oh, that's cool. And I go, because she thought it would have all these pictures in it because they advertised it that way. And he goes, there's like none in here. And I go, I know. He goes, she pissed? And I go, you betcha.
paid $30 motherfucking dollars for that book.
For 10 pictures.
It was not worth it.
But I could have sketched them.
I have collector's editions of all the Hunger Games books. They're right here. All of them, collector's editions. So it's the Hunger Games. Like, I don't know.
Look, I just drew you a picture of Katniss.
Looks about the same as it does in that illustrated copy.
You know what I'm excited fuck about? You.
Respectfully, fuck you.
Hey, it was a great picture of Katniss. I'll make sure to put it in your Christmas box. You know what I'm really excited about?
Are you sending me America Santa again?
I'm not. That you know, I have not seen America Santa since.
I still have America Santa on my shelf. You can't see it.
I mean,
but it's
he's
up there.
Respectfully, he's part of Pod now.
Mm-hmm.
He is a mascot. I am so excited about next season.
Oh my gosh.
Can I tell you, like, I was looking through that list and there are so many books that have been on my TBR that
mm-hmm.
I've been saving for that season because, like, one for sure, Ministry of Time. I wanted to read it so bad this year, and I was like, no, save it for Pod. No, save it for
I
Pod.
I forgot no, that you put Pod. It on Pod, and when I was shelving books at the library, I saw it again, and I was like, oh my gosh, this would be such a good Pod book. I want to read this book so bad. And then I was working on something that we'll talk about next week, and I was like, holy shit, Molly put it on Pod anyway. I was like, yes!
It's like, we know, but we don't.
I'm getting to see a different side of librarianship right now because I'm working in collection or in circulation. So I'm seeing what comes in and out. And so I'm processing new books too. So the recommendations that we were getting from TikTok and stuff, we were getting disappointed by a lot of the recommendations we were getting from TikTok. And I'm getting recommendations now from people who are actually like reading books, who are actually love the books, who I personally know, not somebody who was paid to say this book was good.
Right. So my afterlight this mm-hmm. month. So it's Academy for Liars.
Oh.
Yeah. Look at how freaking gorgeous that is.
I thought you had stopped doing Afterlight.
I stopped the romance one and moved on to the horror one.
Oh. I need to do the romance one. I just
they have a wait list.
It.
Yeah.
I know, and I made this it from my... the wait list onto it, and I couldn't afford it. So
Evernight, not Afterlight, it's called. And hashtag not sponsored, but you guys are welcome to send me things if you want to sponsor us.
We now have live on our website, we now have a link for authors and bookstores.
Oh my gosh.
Anyone that wants to come on Book Besties to submit for a review.
Also, guys, bug your local cons. Tell them you want us to come. will mm-hmm. come out.
Yeah.
Just your lips, God's ears. So, should we talk about this week's book?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. This week's book is Matzah Ball by Jen Metzler. This is our first book that is not based
around the Christian. Her name is Jean Metzler. Jean Meltzer.
Jean Meltzer. I'm so glad I'm the one that picked this book. I screw up normal English, so
dude.
Jewish American English and Yiddish is not going to be awesome.
Dude, you asked me how to pronounce it before we started recording, and you said it correctly. While we're filming, you say it wrong. Jean Meltzer.
There's a lot wrong with me, guys. Okay, let's try this again. The Matzah Ball by Jean Meltzer.
Here's the cover. So cute. Total vibes.
So cute. So, synopsis.
Yes.
Fantastic. Rachel Rubenstein Goldblatt has a little secret. That secret is she is a Christmas romance writer. And the reason this is her secret, mm-hmm. her father is a well-known and respected rabbi in her community. Not just in her community, but like in
internationally.
New York City. Internationally. In like the New mm-hmm. York City metropolitan area. Like he's mm-hmm. like the guy. Okay. The rabbi. So she writes under a pseudonym. That is till her publisher tells her she needs to move on. And by that, they mean, write me a Hanukkah book. You're Jewish. Yeah, that's how they do that, by the way.
You're Jewish. You can do this.
You're Jewish. You can do this. Jacob Greenberg is back in New York City after the passing of his mother, and he wants to prove to his community that he can throw a party. He and his partner are planning a matzah ball for Hanukkah. But he's holding on to the past a little too hard. These two literally crash into each other These two crash together in a whirlwind of Yiddish food and chronic pain. Let's talk about this sweet winter romance, the matzah ball.
All right.
The matzah ball.
Okay. And we picked this one as a way to not just do Christmas romance.
Yeah. I saw this last winter. And we had already, like, had in stone our Christmas mm-hmm. reads. And I was like, next season. Next mm-hmm. season.
Yeah.
The matzah ball took us into a deep dive into the community. The matzah ball took us into a deep dive into the community and lives of the Jewish people in New York City mm-hmm. as they are about to start Hanukkah. This isn't either of our traditions or our upbringings. Do you feel this book does a good job at explaining things for those who aren't Jewish?
It did an okay job. You know what actually helped me understand this book better was the fact that I just recently binged watched Nobody Wants This.
Okay.
Where the main characters, Seth Cohen is a rabbi.
Yeah.
And there's so much discussion of the Jewish traditions and things in there.
I haven't seen it yet. Is it good?
It's so good.
I love Kristen Bell.
Yeah, me too.
But I get overly attached to her roles, and I get heartbroken when her shit gets ended, so I don't do it.
Well, it got renewed for another season. Originally, I had thought it was only a limited series. I didn't realize it was a series until I started. Then I saw it got renewed, and I was like, "Oh, this is a series." It's really good, easy to binge watch, and I feel like they do explain it there as well. And I think that that helped me understand this. But mm-hmm. I mean, to be honest with you, it's like trying to understand anyone else's faith that isn't a part of yours. You know,
right? Right.
I do know that Hanukkah is not one of the big high holy days. In the Jewish faith, it just kind of gets lumped in as with Christmas because people are like, mm-hmm. oh, we have to be inclusive, so we can't just have Christmas. And they do talk about that a little bit in here about how Hanukkah is not even really that big of a deal.
Yeah, it's like not even in their big three, right?
Right.
As they make
the
it
high
sound.
Holy days. It's not
the
one
high
of those.
Holy days. Mm-hmm. And look, I follow a YouTuber, which we'll talk about later. I have her linked in here for later, but I follow a YouTuber. I've been following her for a bit because I was writing a Jewish character, but I was like, nope, not doing this, not working out, not the person for this. But so I've always tried to integrate myself, but I think if you're going into this book flat without any context, mm-hmm. you're gonna need some, like, an index of Yiddish words would have been nice for me. Right?
Yeah.
Just to make it a little bit, I mean, and this sounds ridiculous. I feel like it'd make it more accessible, if that makes sense.
But here's the thing. While I completely agree with you, the converse of that is the assumption and the privilege of coming from an Americanized Christian background.
Exactly.
We all know the terms for Christmas. And
we don't explain why we put a star on the tree.
Right.
Right. So I get it. Exactly. It's,
yeah.
It's a catch 22 for sure in that sense.
Yeah.
For sure. Next question. Rachel is a writer, but she mm-hmm. writes Christmas novels as a practicing Jewish woman.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big secret for her throughout this book.
It's her secret shame.
It's her secret shame. She even has a room, a secret special room. Mm-hmm. What do you think of her career and her secret identity of Marcy Cross?
So I get it. I hate to be that person that's like, I have a Jewish friend. I had a Jewish friend in college who would celebrate Christmas as well, because I mean, she had a tree up. I don't know.
I have Jewish friends that put trees up, but it's partially for their children, because their mm-hmm. children do go to public school, and it's like, hey, I see you're seeing this, and this doesn't, you know, and I mean, let's not lie, American Christmas isn't Christian Christmas.
No, it is not.
Christmas is not a religious-based holiday, in my opinion. In my opinion.
No, like, it's not. Christmas is about commercialization and
selling toys.
And selling tchotchkes, which is
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, poinsettia,
Santa.
Santa.
I mean, I know
Santa.
I know Saint Nicholas has, you know, like Christian, you mm-hmm. know, roots, but no, Christmas in this country is not a religious celebration.
I mean, we could get into the commercialization of holidays going all the way to Easter, and like we could just Valentine's Day. Like, there are so many of them that have just become plastic days.
Well, we have friends here who are atheists, and they celebrate Christmas. So,
we're agnostic.
I know. It's, I was going to say, you're agnostic.
We're agnostic. I mean, I do have a disco Christmas tree, literally. That is, there is not a religious part about my tree.
My Christmas tree is disco as well.
It is literally just covered in disco balls.
Flashes music.
Oh, no. Mine is just disco balls.
I know. I saw your picture. I loved it.
I'll put it in the stories for you guys. It's ridiculous, and I love it. I love it, and it is just, if you knew the Biggs family, it makes sense, guys.
Mm-hmm.
If you knew me and my kids, it would make sense.
But the interesting thing is, that is, Christian holidays are the only religious-based holidays in this country that are celebrated regardless of what your religion is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think less so Easter is a big deal in this country. I mean, people mm-hmm. get together and maybe have like an Easter ham, but that is...
You're in ham country, homie.
I mean, to me, that is a deeply religious holiday, because that is what we believe to be when the Jesus reason grows. That we have salvation.
Salvation,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so... But we don't... You don't see us celebrating Hanukkah when we're not Jewish, you know?
Right. Right. We don't go, ooh, 8 crazy nights, here we go! Right. You know, it's...
Now, there are a lot of people who celebrate winter solstice.
Yeah.
Who are not, like, Wiccan or pagan.
I mean, a tree, bringing a pine tree into the house was a pagan tradition.
Mm-hmm. It was it was a pagan culture.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're all witches now. Anyway, okay. So,
I'm pretty sure when you retire from being a librarian, you become a witch.
I mean, it's kind of a
birthright. I think that's the next evolution of librarians. I mean,
I've been called a kitchen witch. Mm-hmm. I'm a green witch. I'm a lot of witchy things. I want to add on this question one mm-hmm. more thing before we move on. Mm-hmm. Did it feel to you when her editor was like, hey, write under your real name and write Jewish? Did that feel racist to you? Was it a little condescending?
It's not racist because Judaism is a religion.
But it's also a race because if you have Jewish blood descent, you are the race of the Jewish people, right?
Well, they would say no, but they would also okay. say that you're Jewish if your mother was Jewish. But this is when I taught in Tampa, I had a lot of Jewish students mm-hmm. and they were deeply offended by that because it's basically what the Nazis said.
My bad. I apologize. That's not how I meant that, guys.
I know you're not a Nazi, so I'm not like comparing you to that. I'm just saying.
Thank God.
But yes, you can be born into the Jewish faith. But I suppose that could be really true of any religion because you can mm-hmm. convert to any religion or you are raised in whatever faith your family yeah. is. What the fuck was the question?
I was talking about how the fact that it wasn't racist,
but it was definitely stereotyping and putting her in a box.
Yeah.
Also, I'm not sure why it was icky.
I'm not sure why they thought
a Hanukkah story would sell better than a Christmas story when she was a bestseller and had won all these awards for it. And had movies. Yes. And the author points out that there just really isn't a lot of marketing for Hanukkah. And it's not even an important holiday to them. So why? Although yeah. I got to tell you, one of my favorite parts of this book was when that happened because, oh my gosh, I don't even know if I'll be able to find it. But when that happened, her publisher was like, everybody loves the Jews. And she's like, historically, that is not true. And I was like, that was an amazing comeback.
Historically?
That's not true.
So let's talk language.
Okay.
Normally, we hit words or phrases we don't know. Mm-hmm. But this, we do this all the time. We mm-hmm. just make up words in our head. We move on. We read mm-hmm. fantasy. This is a thing what happens.
Yeah.
But this book is full of Yiddish and common mm-hmm. phrases in the Jewish community. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about this aspect? Did this make the book more realistic for you?
I mean, realistic, yes. I didn't always know what they were talking about, but from context, I could gather, obviously nosh meant mm-hmm. a snack, a bite.
Yeah, meat. Yeah. There was just different foods I was Googling as mm-hmm. I went along and was like, ooh, that looks nummy. Ooh, yeah. That looks nummy.
If I can put on my English hat for a second, linguistically mm-hmm. speaking, we don't need to have a sentence structured in words that we know to understand it because right. we understand how the English language works. So even putting in
kind of
Yiddish words or when people are code switching or uh-huh. when you have people who are mixing in Spanish and English and we can infer from context what they're talking about. And so I felt like you could do that here. It definitely made it more realistic to me because I feel like, and maybe this is me being stereotypical, but I feel like when uh-huh. you have a New York Jew, they're going to put in Yiddish.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I know people from New York City who are Jew. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I put a couple links on this for you and I will put them in our mm-hmm. linky do's. It's a basic facts about Yiddish. And then mm-hmm. I'm going to put my favorite YouTuber that I was following. Her name is Tamara Meisel. Mm-hmm. She lives in Jerusalem. Her and mm-hmm. her family were Americans that moved there. She is very informative. Yes, they're expats. She's very informative, not just about culture, but about language. I've been following her for a couple of years. She's very informative. She is a wonderful YouTuber. Anyways, let's move on.
Okay.
Since I make no sense.
You are making sense to me.
Jacob's mom moved him away from New York as a kid. He lived in Paris most of his life and now is just returning to New York. His drive to return seems to be for a few reasons. impress the community, see Rachel again, and possibly deal with his father. What did you think about our male lead and his motivations in this book?
So, it felt cliche to me. I know I'm skipping ahead here, but I found it really cliche.
It's fine.
I find it really cliche that the reason that he could understand Rachel's condition was because his mother also had an autoimmune disease and chronic pain. Here's my feelings about this book. I know that you're going to ask me my Goodreads rating, and I'm going to pull it up right now, but I'll continue talking until I have it loaded. But my issue with this book is that it didn't really feel like his character was fleshed out. His character was there to be a catalyst for this winter romance for her, but the story didn't really have, like, it didn't weave together well. I knew about his character and his character struggles, but I don't feel like I ever knew the character, if that makes
sense. It was PC. Yes, yeah. For sure. It was very PC. And I don't know if this is her first novel.
Yeah, so she was a writer for, so she went to NYU's Tisch School, which, come on. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
She's worked in television and she has a daytime Emmy. Like, she has writing experience.
Yeah.
It's also interesting that she went to rabbinical school, but then had to drop out because she has the same chronic illness that is mentioned in the book.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. She actually, I don't know if you read her, her author's note, but she talks about chronic fatigue syndrome, that she has it.
I listened to it, yeah. Mm-hmm. I believe they had it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I think my problem with Jacob is he instantly went into child mode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he thought the best way to deal with anything when it came to Rachel was act like he was 12.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And,
well, this worked when we were 12, so that's how I'm going to be able to get her again. No, sir. That's no.
No, sir. You're a grown man now. You guys are in your 30s.
Right.
I also,
I guess they had to put this in because there's such a stereotype with Jewish men and their moms, right?
Yeah.
And he's lost his mom, and she wasn't Jewish. And he has this great relationship with his grandmother, and he's babied by her.
I love his booby.
Mm-hmm.
I love Toby so much. I love Toby so much.
She was one of my favorite characters in this book.
She was like the fairy godmother in this book, if that makes sense to any of you.
Yeah, she really was. She
was like a little fairy godmother, but like more of a Jiminy Cricket style. Like, if you're going to do that, okay, but it looks stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like when she basically told him straight up, what are you doing? Like,
right. Come on. She's constantly like, are you sure?
I don't think that's the best idea, bruh.
Okay. I'll bring this up now. I did have a question about this. Her being so chill about not having a relationship with her son.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. She's happy to have Jacob and she just travels and does whatever the fuck she wants. But her just being like so chill that her kid doesn't want anything to do with her.
Yeah, that felt really unrealistic. I did like when Jacob finally met his dad and was like, call your mom.
Call your mom. By the way, call your mom.
Call your mom.
Fuck her. The miscommunication. That was not words. Those are not words. Okay. The miscommunication trope runs this novel.
Mm-hmm.
It starts early at Jewish sleepaway camp for Rachel and Jacob. Mm-hmm. We see other characters get involved, but it does not help. What do you think of this part of the storyline and how it moves the book forward?
So I am usually the one that is defending a miscommunication trope. I'm usually the one that's saying, like, relationships aren't perfect and third act breakups don't bother me. This one bothered me so much.
Okay, either we need to make it less clear for both of them, Mm-hmm. Or we needed to make one of them completely in the dark. As both of their water was, like, murky, they mm-hmm. could have seen the transparency. Mm-hmm. This is just actively, willingly not mm-hmm. paying attention. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It was a little frustrating.
And I also, like, at the end when he finds out that she's the Christmas story writer mm-hmm. and that she's writing a story about him.
A Grinch. Yeah, the Grinch story. The matzo ball Grinch. Or the Hanukkah Grinch or whatever.
It's the Hanukkah Grinch. She barely changes the name of the main character in her book.
So lazy.
It sort of reminded me of that moment in Bridget Jones's Diary, the first one, where Mark Darcy finds... Stop laughing at me. I love Bridget Jones.
I know you love Bridget Jones. I'm laughing because it brings you so much joy.
Continue. It really does. I've read all of them and I've seen all of them and I love it.
I know. They're your comfort movies. I know.
I know. They really are. Mark Darcy sees her diary, and in her diary she's written repeatedly what an ass he is and how much she hates him. And he leaves, and he goes to buy her another diary, a new one, to start a new chapter. Instead of just assuming this is how she really feels and I'm going to let this go. And that's what I wanted in this book. Yeah. I wanted him to stay and say, well, you
know. Give her a chance to explain the story. Give her a chance.
Instead,
but no, we're 12 years old.
Yeah, and he was really, well, according to the narrator who was narrating the book, the way that he talked to her was, like, really, like, he was disgusted by her.
Like, he went from madly in love to, I can't look at your face.
Right.
Like, and, really fucking fast.
And here's the thing. You started this story by putting her in a matzo ball costume.
Perfect. Let's roll into that, shall we?
Yes, we shall.
Jacob is still thinking like a teenager. When mm-hmm. he and Rachel are finally working together again, do you think he and his pranks were a good idea?
No.
Like, none of them
Not even putting aside the fact that he didn't know that she had an autoimmune disease and was in chronic pain. Putting that aside, you don't treat people like that. That's not mm-hmm. funny. It's not incredibly disrespectful. You're honoring her parents at this event and you're treating her like that? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, like, it took the classiness of this event and, like, lowered it.
Just the matzo ball suit to begin mm-hmm. with.
Right.
The matzo ball suit specifically was so... It was trash. He put a trash can outfit on her.
Yeah. I mean, that's we how it wouldn't, felt to me. To be fair, if we don't have her in a matzo ball suit, we don't get her rolling through the entire hotel, which was arguably very funny.
There's a lot of funny in this. We're being negative, guys, but mm-hmm. that's our jobs. Yeah. That's why you guys come here.
We don't.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
You know what I've noticed this season? Well, we had some stinkers at the beginning of the season.
For real.
And that's going to happen every season. We're going to have some books we don't like. I mean, but
what it's just September and October was hard.
October was better, though. We had that's good books in October.
Because Grady Hendrix saved us.
I feel like there was more than that was good. Listen for the Lie was
good. Listen for the Lies was good. Because we had Chessie on.
I love Chessie. I love Chessie. So... I've noticed that we tend to be more critical of books now than we used to be. Like, even for sure. books that we really love, we're very critical of them.
I rated this high. I gave it 3.75, so I rounded up to a 4.
I gave it a 3.
Okay, yeah. So, like, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Jacob having no growth from teenage years to adulthood when he owns a multi-million dollar company, mm-hmm. he's done all these amazing things, he helped mm-hmm. take care of his dying ill mother, just it the but math see, doesn't math for me.
See, that's the thing. If he were still that immature person, she wouldn't be interested in him. He's not that immature person anymore. Mm-hmm. He's reverting back to that as a way to attract her. Like, 12-year-old girl is going to still want the same thing as the 30-some girl. That's not... No.
No.
Also, you know? That whole, well, he's chasing you around the playground thing because he likes you is bullshit. It's
bullshit. If a boy pushes you down, he's an asshole. He doesn't like you. So, let's talk about the chronic pain part now. When I picked this book up, I wanted to bring another holiday POV to our winter romances. We both celebrate Christmas, so we tend to lean towards those books. I was looking forward to be taken to another culture that was new to me. What I did not expect was a conversation on chronic pain and chronic illness.
Yeah.
While this author was kind and gentle with this topic, do you think it works with this story? And then there's an April note. Which
I don't remember what I wrote.
April note, Hanukkah is actually not one of the most important Jewish holidays. Well,
I already said that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So look. This is a book that I did not expect to get a depth from. I expected the light, happy story, this enemies to lovers. Well, not really enemies to lovers, but, you know, exes, second chance romance, which, by the way, side note, they loved each other way too much for 12. Like, that's way ridiculous. Too easy. Yeah. Way too much. Like, way too much. That's the great love of his life because he kissed her at 12. No. I'm sorry. No.
No.
So. No.
Sorry. No.
Yeah, it's not how this works. I didn't expect this depth. And for me, I think what was really cool is that this is the author's story. Like, she's explaining this disease to us firsthand as a person that, you know, that has it.
Chronic
However, I don't think this was the story for it.
This is a double-edged sword for me. I feel like, as someone with chronic pain, who lives in chronic pain, who feel... Look, I have an invisible illness. They call it that for a reason, because I don't look sick, right? I look like
sometimes a normal... Sometimes you do, though, when you're having really bad flare-ups. Yeah, there are
times. Yeah. But, like, right now, I'm sitting at a 3.5. But you can't tell. Right. I just fucking function and move forward.
Right.
This... was true to my story when it comes to the chronic pain journey.
Yeah.
How she has the bad days. How she can't get out of bed. How sometimes I can't shower. Because there's...
But was this the story for that?
No. No. This was supposed to be a light romance.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of... Oh gosh, was it last season that we read Get a Life, Chloe Brown? And we had Heather from Bookables on... I think it was last season.
Yes, it was the beginning of last season in the spring.
What did she have? Did she have lupus? I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's never lupus. Like
that. It's never lupus.
I can't remember what it was, but that to me also took away from what the story was supposed to be. Now, I have read, for example, in a couple of weeks, we'll have the Olivia Dade episode, but one of the things that we talked to her about, I'm giving you a little... inside knowledge
sneak
because
preview.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey, we've already filmed that episode. one of the things we talked about was how she puts in these deep and dark parts in her story and how she can still make them funny and charming and romantic and sexy as hell. That's what I want from this. And that's not what I got. That's not what I got.
No. When I first saw this book, it was with all the Christmas novels in Barnes & Nobles. So Barnes & Nobles was even advertising it as a winter romance.
It is.
If it is, but it isn't. It's not the primary focus. It just...
No.
And that's why I had issues. And that's why I rated it in the threes instead of the fours.
I feel like... This is not going to be a kind thing to say, but you either get to have a secret writing life where you're writing Christmas romances and you're Jewish, or you get to be chronically ill. You don't get to be both.
You can't.
You can't have both. That's too many things.
Many things. You can't have two wives.
You get one wife. That's the way of the world.
You broke up with... It was really hard for you. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you have two wives! The way of the world! Oh, my God.
Oh, my my gosh. Okay,
next question. I'm so sorry. somebody's going to get our meme.
They got it.
We got it. When the matzo ball starts to fall apart, because matzo balls fall apart. If you had matzo ball soup, they fall apart really easy. You guys like that? Okay. When the matzo ball starts to fall apart and looks like a disaster, which happens, Rachel swoops in and saves the day using all of her camp contacts. What did you think of her rescuing Jacob?
There is no fucking way that this man has made his career of making parties on islands for influencers to attend, and he didn't check behind to see that they weren't getting some cheap-ass dreidels. That's absolutely not a thing. Also, how did she come up with a whole new menu for the caterer? Just like, hey, we're going to make all this. Absolutely not. This is not how this works.
The fact she knew how to build the dreidel.
That didn't bother me because she's probably right. She probably has put one together before. It wasn't a dreidel. It was
the menorah. Excuse the menorah. Me.
Yeah.
The menorah. The massive menorah, which I would have given my arm to see. That thing sounded spectacular.
It was so predictable, it was so cliche, and it was so fucking unlikely.
But
like, at the beginning of this book, I actually texted you and was like, hey, I really like this, it's funny, it's charming, I see the witty banter, blah, blah, blah. And then it just took a steep downward spiral. And then it got to the part, and I'm not sorry if I'm bringing this up too soon, got to the part where his booby, Toby, is like talking about her time during the Holocaust. Yeah.
Uh-huh. We're going to talk about that next.
Okay, well, I'll hold off then. But I'm sorry. This is not likely. He's not going to, the day before an event, realize it's shit.
She's like, I've seen better dreidels at a bar mitzvah.
Bar mitzvah.
Like, come on. Mm-mm. Okay.
Absolutely not. I'm sorry, but he has made his career since college planning parties. Yeah. It's not what it looks like.
It's not it. It's just not it. Okay. Jacob's grandmother, Toby, survived the Holocaust and is pretty much a badass extraordinaire with all of her travels in her life. She seems to be everywhere when she is needed, yet seems to be fine with never speaking with her son. What do you think of the complex family dynamic of Toby, Jacob, and his father?
Okay, so this is not a question I thought you were going to ask, but
you can bring it up.
I feel like, first of all, Toby did not survive a death camp during World War II. She was non-Jewish passing, essentially, so they shipped her off.
She was blonde hair and blue-eyed. Mm-hmm.
So they shipped her to France, I think.
Her mom put earrings in her coat. Mm-hmm. And when she got to France, she bribed people with these earrings. And
with all sorts of jewelry. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful story.
And she basically, that's how she survived. And none of the rest of her family survived. It was just her.
Right. But she was eight.
And she came, I think she was older than that. I think she was like 11 or 12. Like, I'm pretty sure she was talking about working on a farm. And I mean, maybe, I don't remember. But, she came to America as part of a program where displaced Jewish people after the Holocaust who had no family were given an opportunity to basically immigrate to America.
You know, there is a lot of programs like that. Mm-hmm. Like, orphans used to get sent over here. That's how my great-grandfather, who was German, got over here. Mm-hmm. Him and his brother were exiled from Germany for being thieves during World War I.
Mm.
And they got adopted here in the States. Hmm. As teenagers.
Interesting.
They just got passed around for a bit. Anyways, sorry.
Interesting.
Totally off topic. Not the Jewish Germans, the other Germans. Anyway.
Okay.
Sorry.
I find the dynamic between Toby and her son to be very weird, but I'll be honest with you. I feel like too often, I'm speaking as a mom of boys. I feel like too often you have sons that grow up and they choose to not be a part of their kids' lives and they choose to be assholes, and it's really hard to fight to stay in their life.
Yeah.
Because if you fight to stay in their life, I mean, I would still love my kids fully, but fighting to stay in their life, it's hard. Like, right. You don't want to have to deal with that hurt.
Look, and I'm estranged from my father. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah. But I feel like for Toby, because she didn't have any other family, it was just her son. Her husband had died at that point. Mm-hmm. She had her son. And so that's why Jacob is basically her son, not her grandson. He's basically her son.
I think that's part of what Toby did. Like, mm-hmm. I can't have him. Mm-hmm. I will take what I can get. Mm-hmm. And you know what? This boy is spectacular. I love this little boy.
And if her son is going to fuck around and find out, she's going to choose the side of the kid who's being hurt in the process.
Mm-hmm. Because children don't deserve this.
He did not choose that.
Mm-mm. No.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Jacob makes a great, and you know, I will praise my mom for this, mm-hmm. because this is how my mother was. The mm-hmm. one thing, Jacob's in that office with his father. Mm-hmm. And he's yelling at his father is instantly going into defense mode, right? Mm-hmm. He's doing, mm-hmm. your mom did this, your mom did this, your mom did this. Mm-hmm. And Jacob was like, you know what? Mom signed your name to my cards every year. And every time I asked her why. Mm-hmm. And now I see it. She never said a bad word about you.
Yeah.
And I've been here 5 minutes. And all you do is, he's like, I'm done. I'm done. Yeah. And
that moment when he had to ask his dad if the kids in the picture were his siblings, I was just like, oh, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah. 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 We're seeing that in this new book we're reading too.
Mm-hmm.
The extra siblings.
Yes. But what I do want to say about Toby and mm-hmm. her story being during World War II, one of the things that Rachel in her monologue says is every family has these Holocaust stories. Like, she knows these stories because that's deeply ingrained in their culture.
Yeah.
But what bothered me more than anything is the author chose to use this as a path to Rachel comparing the Holocaust to her relationship with Jacob. And at that point, this book went, like, it started probably as a 4, and it went down to a 3.5. And at that point, I was like, I really hate this book. That is very self-obsessed. That is irrational thought.
It was very self-centered. Because
millions of people died in the Holocaust, and you're going to compare this to your relationship with a guy? That's gross.
It is.
And I feel like as a Jewish woman, this author should have known better. Like, I just feel like
I don't know.
You should know better.
I don't know. Of course, we get a happily ever after with this book.
That's what we signed up for.
Because that's what winter romances are all about. Mm-hmm. How do you like the ending of this novel? Will you read Jean Meltzer again?
Meltzer. I don't intend to read her again. I just don't think that she's for me. I did like the ending. I feel like there was all this build up and you got zero spice, which I know doesn't always bother me to have a closed door. But we got fade to black in this. We didn't even get anything. All we got was them kissing. It was like, really? This whole time? And we're not going to get anything? And he's like
supposed to be super hot.
Right. Like, I want to hear the details of what his abs look like when he takes off his Henley.
Seriously. Just give us a little bit. That's all we're asking.
Right. Yeah.
I'm glad we got the happy ending. I'm glad the characters ended up together.
But that was inevitable. That's always going to happen in these kind of books.
My favorite part of this book and the ending was when the parents were like, she's like, and I'm a Christmas writer. And her dad was like, I thought we already knew that.
I loved that too.
Yeah, she's just telling everyone now.
I love that too because she was so worried that her parents would be disappointed in her. And they just and didn't want to tell her that they knew because they didn't want to deprive her of her privacy.
Right. And like,
but they were so supportive.
They were so supportive. They loved her so much.
Yeah. And then, of course, we get the epilogue, and she's still with Jacob, and she's come back from France with him, and she's has her biggest sales ever for the matzo ball.
Obviously. It's her best book ever. Hit me with your final thoughts. Did I miss anything? Goodreads?
I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. I was very disappointed.
I wish there was more. I've
read so many books. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, even a smidge would have been nice compared to what we were. Like, part of the reason we go for winter romances is so we can get a little bit of the steaminess. Right. How else do you stay warm in these cold days?
Well, you could join Katie and I for Warm Winter Bitches.
I am reading one with you guys.
One of them. I read 7, well, I can't call them all books because 5 of them were short stories, but it wasn't 7, it was 8. But I read so much in November, and just looking at, like, the things that we're reading for Pod for December, it's really hard to compete with what we have coming next week and what we have coming the following week.
Right.
I'm just going to show the book because I'm really excited about this. We have Hazel Gaynor and Heather Webb coming on for this book, Christmas with the Queen.
That book is all over Barnes & Noble, too. So all over Barnes & Noble.
We can't keep it in the library. It keeps getting checked out.
It is so God blessed good.
And here's the thing. We've said this many times on here. I do not like historical fiction.
No.
We read Heather Webb's other... we read a book of hers already this year called...
I'm about to pull it up.
I cannot remember what it was called, but it was about a woman gang. Queens of London.
Queens of London.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was so good.
And when I say that I like historical fiction book, that is something you can take to the bank because I don't like historical fiction. This was the same. I finished this before I finished Matzo Ball. And getting the cozy feelings in this, and no, there's no sex in this, like.
But there is all there the is, but the, vibes.
It's closed door, but gosh, it's just a good story, and it's hard to compare a story like this to a story like Matzo Ball.
We'll talk about this next week, but Heather and
they'll be on in 2 weeks.
Heather and Hazel's book.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell it's written by two authors.
Mm-mm.
Guys, that's fucking... It's amazing, guys.
It's a really good story.
It's really good. It is. You want to talk about what's going on next week?
So, next week we are reading this book, Love Light Farms, which I'm about halfway through now, by B.K. Borison. This is a part of a series. I think there are maybe 4 books in the series now. And I'm enjoying it so far. And then we're going to, of course, we'll be talking to Heather Webb and Hazel Gaynor. And then the not Grace. Their episode will be on Christmas Eve, which is perfect because the book is called Christmas with the Queen. Oh,
it's perfect.
And then we are on New Year's Eve wrapping up season 7 with Olivia motherfucking Dade.
Olivia fucking Dade, guys.
I just can't. I cannot believe we got to interview her. I'm just like...
What a great season it's been.
And if you're interested in Olivia Dade's books at all, I'm going to tell you, she reads an excerpt of her book that doesn't come out till next summer.
Oh my God, we got so lucky with that. That was so amazing. We got
so lucky with that. Like, it's not even... Like, there's not even arcs of it yet. She read it from the file that she wrote it on.
Just because she likes us.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
That's all I got.
Head out. That's all I got. We'll see you guys next time.
Sounds good. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for joining us on Book Besties. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are those of April and Molly and not those of anyone else. Today's book was The Matzo Ball by Jean Meltzer. Your book besties are Molly Biggs and April Watkins. Editing by Thomas Watkins and music is Sleep Sweetly by Brigida. Don't forget to follow the Book Besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the Book Besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite book.